is high. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Boy, am I glad to see you. Today, I'm hanging out in one of my favorite places, and boy, I'm having so much fun.
Hey, LaVar, no tears allowed in my kitchen, okay? Wipe those things up.
It's these onions, Curtis. The more I chop them, the more I cry.
I know. I've cut thousands of onions in my day, mm-hmm. and I've got some tricks to cut those tears out.
This is my good friend Curtis Akins. He's a world-famous chef, and in fact, he's working on a new cookbook, and today, we're gonna help him try out some new recipes.
You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right.
Now, you were saying you had some tricks.
Yes.
For not tearing
tricks?
Up when you're cutting
onions?
They're
not really tricks. They work, LaVar.
Really?
The first one is my favorite.
Uh-huh.
Sunglasses. You put these on.
Oh, come on, Curtis.
Yes, yes, because when you cut into an onion, you cause a chemical reaction. Okay?
Uh-huh.
The gases or vapors from the onion float up,
uh-huh.
and they make contact with your eyes.
That's what causes them to sting and tear?
That's it. That's exactly it. So the sunglasses act like what?
Goggles.
Safety goggles. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And it works. So when you dice those up, no more tears.
It does work.
Okay.
So that's great. But what if you don't have sunglasses around?
Well, we've got to be a little more creative, I guess.
Uh-huh.
We'll take the whole onion,
uh-huh.
put them in the refrigerator, and they cool down. It really contracts the onion.
Uh-huh.
You know how it is in the wintertime when you get cold, you
right,
shrivel up.
Right.
That's exactly what happens.
Contracts the skin, the vapor can't release.
It can't get out when you slice into it. Exactly. So we've got a few onions chopped up. Let's
mm-hmm.
put those in our soup pot there.
All right.
And while they suck in the bottom, I'm going to get our next ingredient. Let me check my list here. Carrots, okay? While you're doing that, I'm gonna grab the carrots and bring them in. Oh.
Listen to that sound.
Yes, I love sauteed onions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing first. We're sauteing the onions.
Saute the onions.
Yeah.
All
get
right.
all those in there. I'm gonna stir that just a little bit and bring our carrots in.
Ooh, I love carrots.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't they taste nice and sweet?
They're the best.
Oh. They're
fabulous.
So good for you.
You know, I've always heard that the carrots are good for you. Why is that?
Beta carotene.
Really?
Let me show you what beta carotene is. This little orange substance
this
right
liquid here.
That's it. That's
mm-hmm.
beta carotene. That's found in all carrots. Now, what the body does is it converts that beta carotene into vitamin A, which is great for your bones
mm-hmm.
and your teeth
mm-hmm.
and your eyes.
Ah.
You know, Mom says eat your carrots to make sure you see well. That's why.
So, Curtis, being a chef is really like being a scientist, isn't it?
Oh, well, thank you. I think so. You've got to know how food reacts to heat
mm-hmm.
or to cold, so mm-hmm. it is like being a scientist.
So your kitchen, then, could also be called your laboratory.
Oh, it is my lab.
So
I'm going to add these carrots.
You got carrots there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
what's next in the recipe?
Next are tomatoes. I need some peeled and diced tomatoes.
Peeled and diced
Can
tomatoes?
Can you handle that part for me?
I am your peeling and dicing guy. All right.
Let me put the carrots in there and stir this up well. But you want everything
Curtis.
To combine. Oh, LaVar, don't get that on your shirt.
I'm not doing a very good job of this, am I?
I think it's time for another trick.
You have a science principle that'll help us peel tomatoes?
Yes, I do. Let me find my knife here. Give me one of those beautiful red ripe tomatoes.
How's that one?
That's pretty. That's perfect. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I love tomatoes. What we're going to do, LaVar, is that same principle about expanding and contracting
mm-hmm.
to work on our tomatoes. I'm going to take and score the top just a little bit.
Right.
Now, I've got a pot of boiling water. We're going to place a tomato in the boiling water.
Okay.
And as we said earlier, heat causes it to what?
Expand.
Exactly. So we're going to let this boil for maybe 10 seconds. We don't want to cook the tomato,
uh-huh.
okay, because we're going to do that in our sauce.
Right.
But we're just going to heat that up enough to expand the tomato, which stretches the skin.
Uh-huh.
Now, after it's been in 10, 15 seconds,
right.
no more than that, because it starts to cook after that,
right.
we're going to take this out
right.
and do what?
Put it in something cold.
Exactly.
Here we
right
go.
Right into some cold water bath, as we call it in our kitchen. That shocks it, stops the cooking,
uh-huh.
stops that heat process. Then when we pull it out, okay.
Look at that.
Isn't that wonderful, LaVar?
The skin practically peels
just
off
itself. Just peels right off.
Wow.
Then you can take and dice it up and no peels are in your in our marinara sauce.
That is amazing.
Okay. Well, I went ahead and chopped up some tomatoes for you. If you'll add those to the to our wonderful marinara here,
okay.
I will get some fresh herbs
Alrighty.
To go in there. Okay? Here we go. I'll hand you these while I go over and get our fresh herbs.
Put the tomatoes
and
right in
I now. Try to use fresh herbs, LeVar, and I grow them right in my own windowsill garden.
Really?
And you can do this whether you live in the city or the country or whatever. I've got some basil and some rosemary.
So
two
herbs,
wonderful herbs.
Herbs don't have to come from a bottle.
Exactly. They have to come from a bottle or a supermarket. They could come from your windowseal.
Absolutely.
And I've got basil. Isn't that a beautiful basil? Let me show you the basil leaf here. Isn't that pretty?
Mm.
And smell that, too. Isn't that nice?
That is so fresh.
Just tear those and drop them in. We've got two nice basil leaves. While you're doing that, I'm going to grab some rosemary. And I hear this is one of your favorites.
Rosemary is one of my favorite herbs.
I love that. Rosemary. You feel the fresh rosemary.
Soft that is.
The oils inside each one of the herbs is what we're going after. So we don't want to use the stems.
Just the little leaves.
Exactly.
Huh?
The stems can get caught or something and cause problems. So we just peel the little leaves off and drop them right in our sauce pot.
Cool.
Now, we're practically there. I can add a little salt and pepper a little later on to test that. So we're just going to let this kind of cook down until everything blends. Another chemical reaction binding it together. And then we're going to put together our recipe a little later in the show.
So this has to simmer for a bit?
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, while this is simmering, why don't I go and try a new recipe?
Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
Apple raisin muffins. Let's see, the recipe says that the first ingredient is sugar. Let's see. This is the sugar. Here is the flour. We have eggs, oil, salt. Here's baking soda, raisins, cinnamon. Wait a minute. Where are the apples for this recipe? No, I saw apples around here someplace. Aha! Here they are! Look at this one. Just perfect. You know, if you want your recipes to taste great, you really need to start out with the best ingredients. And sometimes it's necessary to go a bit beyond your kitchen pantry to find them. Well, that's what happened to the cook in this book. While whipping up one of my favorite desserts, she discovered how to make an apple pie and see the world.
How to make an apple pie and see the world. By Marjorie Priceman. Read by Helen Mirren. Making an apple pie is really very easy. First, get all the ingredients at the market, mix them well, bake, and serve. Unless, of course, the market is closed. Gone fishing? Oh, no! In that case, go home and pack a suitcase. Take your shopping list and some walking shoes. Then catch a steamship bound for Europe. Use the 6 days on board to brush up on your Italian. If you time it right, you'll arrive in Italy at harvest time. Find a farm deep in the countryside. Gather some superb semolina wheat. An armful or two will do. Then hop a train to France.
Attenzione, TGV in partenza.
And locate a chicken. French chickens lay elegant eggs. And you want only the finest ingredients for your pie. Coax the chicken to give you an egg. Better yet, bring the chicken with you. There's less chance of breaking the egg that way. Get to Sri Lanka any way you can. You can't miss it. Sri Lanka is a pear-shaped island in the Indian Ocean. The best cinnamon in the world is made there from the bark of the native Kurundu tree. So go directly to the rainforest. Find the Kurundu tree and peel off some bark. If a leopard is napping beneath the tree, be very quiet. Hitch a ride to England. Make the acquaintance of a cow. You'll know she's an English cow from her good manners and charming accent. Ask if you can borrow a cup or two of milk. Even better, bring the whole cow with you for the freshest possible results. Stow away on a banana boat, headed home to Jamaica. When the boat docks in Jamaica, walk to the nearest sugar plantation. Introduce yourself to everyone. Tell them about the pie you're making. Then go into the fields and cut a few stalks of sugarcane. Better fly home. You don't want your ingredients to spoil. Wait a minute. Aren't you forgetting something? What about the apples? Have the pilot drop you off in Vermont. You won't have to go far to find an apple orchard. Pick 8 rosy apples from the top of the tree. Give 1 to the chicken, 1 to the cow, and eat one yourself. Then hurry home. Now, all you have to do is mill the wheat into flour, grind the corundu bark into cinnamon, boil the sugarcane, persuade the chicken to lay an egg, milk the cow, churn the milk into butter, slice the apples, mix the ingredients, and bake the pie. While the pie is cooling, invite some friends over to share it with you. Remember, apple pie is delicious topped with vanilla ice cream, which you can get at the market. But if the market happens to be closed, you can eat it plain.
Cooking is a science. Just as a scientist in a laboratory has equipment and a formula to follow, a good cook weighs, measures, and combines ingredients according to a recipe. And the ingredients have to be balanced perfectly. For example, in baking, eggs bind things together. And along with flour, they make food solid. But if you use too much, your muffins will be heavy, difficult to chew. But sugar and oil, on the other hand, make your muffins soft and moist to chew. Unless you use too much, and then your muffins are so soft, they fall apart. Chemistry and cooking actually have a lot in common. In fact, there are laboratories where scientists are cooking up great new food ideas all the time.
Debbie Herr. I'm a food scientist. My job here at Turkey Hill is making up new flavors for ice cream, so I have a pretty fun job. I like experimenting. I like mixing things up and seeing how they taste after you mix them up. At Turkey Hill, we make an awful lot of ice cream, and I love ice cream, so I'm kind of meant for this job. Most of my work is done in this lab, but not all of it. More and more, we get demands to make healthier products for people. One of the things that we do make now is frozen yogurt. We make it down in our plant. Frozen yogurt tends to be lower in fat, and it's a good alternative to ice cream. We take pasteurized milk, we add bacteria, and the bacteria produces an acid, and the whole composition of the milk in there changes, makes it a little bit more thick, makes it taste nice and tangy. and you end up with yogurt. One of the jobs I do down in the plant is quality control. I'll go up to the line and I'll pull off a half gallon, open the lid and take a big spatula and go through it real slowly to check to make sure the right ingredients are in there. We actually cut ice cream to see what's inside and make sure I see all the fudge in there and the chocolate covered peanuts that are supposed to be all through the product. I make sure they look right in the product and it's a consistent pattern, and to make sure it's all the way through and not just on the top or the bottom. As I taste different things, I'll taste the ice cream, I taste the ingredients, testing the product so that it is the correct quality and it's what we want to send out on the market. When I complete all my tests, then I get to bring in the experts.
But I think it needs a little more chocolate.
Ew, I don't like this. It's got nuts.
I think it's just perfect.
Look at this. There is some wonderful chemistry happening right here. All of those vegetables that we chopped up earlier have blended and dissolved into this wonderful, thick, rich, delicious sauce. Wow. Curtis.
Hey.
Sauce is ready.
It smells good in this kitchen.
Man, is that
Ooh,
good.
Ooh, yes.
So, what do we do with this great sauce here?
Okay, we're going to make one of my favorite foods mm-hmm. here, LeVar, lasagna.
Oh, I love lasagna.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got a trick for you, because
right.
we're testing.
Right.
I think this formula works, but we'll find out later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use rice instead of the noodles.
Really?
Yes,
okay.
yes.
All right,
now,
I'll
let's
go with you there.
Go over our ingredients here. We've got our sauce, mm-hmm. of course, and then next we want equal amounts of rice and spinach.
Wait a minute. Anybody can tell, Curtis, that these are not equal amounts
oh,
of
yeah.
rice and spinach.
It looks like that, doesn't it? But remember now, this is our laboratory,
right.
and we know how food reacts to heat, okay? When you cook the spinach,
right.
which is mostly water,
uh-huh.
it cooks down. It just kind of cooks away,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, rice, on the other hand, when you cook that with water, it expands,
right.
pretty much like a sponge. I've got some cooked. Let me show you what it looks like when it's cooked up. Now, here's the spinach, the cooked spinach. You see what it started out like?
Wow.
And that's what it ends up as. And you're holding the rice.
This is the rice.
See the difference?
Once it cooks, it absorbs all that
all
water
that
and it becomes
water.
Like that.
Exactly. That's the cooked rice and spinach. Let's move the those raw ones out.
So these are equal amounts.
They are equal amounts. Now, we're also going to use some mozzarella cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're cutting down on the fat intake,
mm-hmm.
just use a low-fat mozzarella. And there's also some wonderful soy mozzarella cheeses out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit of canola oil that we're going to start out with. Any kind of oil, really. I'm using canola because it holds heat better. It has a higher smoking point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing about canola oil.
So you put that in the bottom of the pan?
Brush that in the pan. In fact, brush the whole pan around. And then we're going to simply start to layer, LeVar. How about helping me out by adding a layer of rice?
Okay.
Okay.
You don't mind if I use my hands, do
Your
you?
Hand or the ladle, either way is easy.
Okay.
I'll put this in. Now, what we want to do here is pack the rice down. As we get the rice in, we're going to pack it down. Notice how that's stuck? We can just brush a little bit of oil on the back of our wooden spoon
uh-huh.
to pack it down. The rice should not stick to the back there. Let me see. We're going to press that down, LeVar.
Oh, great.
All around. A little more rice.
More rice?
Uh-huh. Yeah, just fill me all the way in.
Right.
We're just
going to
pack it down.
Right.
Good job.
How's that?
That's looking pretty good. I want to
okay.
get enough in here. Then we'll come with a layer of spinach, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Just get that all the way down, pack it down nicely. And while you're doing that, I'm going to sprinkle some mozzarella.
Uh-huh.
Just a bit of mozzarella. And if you could put some sauce on there for me.
Right. And now some sauce?
Now some sauce. We're going to cover the top with sauce. Good spoonful. Good job. This is looking really nice. I'm going to pack that down with my hand, like you said there. All the way over.
So now, Curtis, this was a great idea to use
rice
instead of, the noodles like you usually do in lasagna. So where do your ideas come from?
My mom is a great cook, LeVar, and I get a lot of recipes from her. I just take some of those old Southern recipes, old family recipes, and I add to them, expand them, and change them. And I also get a lot of recipes from reading other cookbooks.
So oh, really?
There's some wonderful chefs out there who've written a lot of cookbooks.
So have you always loved to read?
I love it. Love to read. But I didn't learn until I was 26 years old, LeVar.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't you go to school?
Yes, I went to school. I graduated from high school, and I even went to college, two different colleges, but I didn't learn to read until
you
I was 26.
You went all the way through high school and college without learning how to read?
Without learning how to read.
How did you manage that?
My personality, friendly personality. People like to help people who are good.
And friendly.
And friendly, exactly.
So you charmed your teachers.
I charmed my teachers. I charmed my friends. Mm-hmm. They didn't know I couldn't read. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad didn't know I couldn't
read.
Really? Exactly.
So what was it that finally made you decide? Was it one single event or sort of an accumulation of things over the course of your life?
The fact that I had started a business and did pretty well not knowing how to read, mm-hmm. but I couldn't hold on to it. I mean, because I could not read, I couldn't get business loans, I couldn't expand the business. So,
You really felt it was holding you back.
Yeah, and the low self-esteem associated
really?
With not being able to read. There are millions of Americans, grown-ups, who can't read.
Right.
And fortunately,
you used to be one of them.
I was one of them. I have been there, LeVar. And now my whole life has opened up. Not only can I read books and love reading books, but I enjoy writing them.
Mm.
To read to my son, Curtis
yes,
Jr.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just fabulous, LeVar.
And reading your own books.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I do enjoy that. Now, this is looking pretty good. Let's add a little more mozzarella.
Mm-hmm. And then another layer of sauce?
Another layer of sauce.
Okay, here we go.
And I think we're about ready for the oven on this one.
Alrighty.
Okay, I'll get that out of the way. And one good, In fact, that top layer, even if you don't want to cover the whole thing.
You can just kind of go.
Yeah, just kind of right down the middle.
Right.
That's looking pretty good.
How about one more?
One more sounds nice.
There we go.
Okay, that's looking good. We can press that down if we want, but also in the heat, it kind of cooks down.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go bake this. What do you think?
Time to put it in the oven?
Time for it.
Excellent.
Alrighty.
Wow. Learning to read was Curtis's dream, and when it finally came true, it changed his whole life. Well, reading can add spice to your life, too. So here are three books that you can really sink your teeth into, but you don't have to take my word for it.
I don't know about you, but I love to eat. Everything from pasta to hamburgers to chocolate bars. And they're all here in this delicious book called The Edible Pyramid. The pyramid is like a menu. You should eat most of your foods from the bottom of the pyramid. What's on the bottom, you ask? Well, breads, of course. Vegetables are in the second row of the pyramid. Fruits are also important and deliciously sweet. Milk, yogurt, and cheese are also in the pyramid. Reading this book is a super way to learn about nutrition. Food isn't just good for you, it's fun. I'm Tristan, and I recommend you grab a snack and read The Edible Pyramid.
Hi, I'm Danielle Roman Cook. Would you like to know how people from other countries make their food? Here's a book that tells how. The Kids Around the World Cookbook. This book is full of recipes from around the world. Anybody who can follow directions can cook. I turned to the Chinese chicken wings first, because I love Chinese food. Sometimes when you cook, it's fun to experiment. Why don't you try your own recipe? If you want to cook something, this book makes it very easy. So, go to the library, stop by the grocery store, and then head for the kitchen. Hey, what are you waiting for? Everybody needs food, no matter how tall you are, how short you are, or where you come from. But do you always know the facts about the foods you're eating? Well, what food is this? We'll teach you a thing or two. Pumpkins, peppers, eggplant, and squash. I bet you thought these were vegetables. They're not. They're really fruit. Raspberries grow on thorny bushes. I've never eaten a raspberry. Did you know broccoli is a flower?
and carrots grow underground. I'm Matt, and I think what food is this will make you a very educated eater. Gobble it up at your local library.
Wow. Well, it looks terrific. It smells great, but there's one final scientific test we must perform to see if the recipe was a success. The taste test. Every kitchen, including yours, is a laboratory where experiments take place. And like every laboratory, there are successes, failures, and surprising discoveries. But best of all, this laboratory never closes, because in the morning, when it's time to make breakfast, the chemistry of cooking begins all over again.
Okay, LaVar, let's eat, huh?
I'm ready,
that
Curtis.
That looks so good.
Looks
now,
terrific.
Every chef lets the guest eat first, mm-hmm. although we're experimenting together today, but mm-hmm. you be first.
All right.
Oh, man, what do you think?
Oh, Curtis.
Mm. Experiment a success?
Outrageous.
All
yeah.
right. Mm-hmm. All right, my turn. Okay. Nice brush. This looks hot.
Mmm. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Mm. How about some bread?
Yes, please.
Apple raisin muffin?
Mmm. Sounds good.
I think I'll have some of the world famous Curtis sourdough homemade
Ooh,
bread.
Good.
Whoops. Cheers.
Cheers.
To your health.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are How to Make an Apple Pie and See the World by Marjorie Priceman, published by Alfred A. Knopf. The Edible Pyramid, Good Eating Every Day by Loreen Leedy, published by Holiday House. The Kids Around the World Cookbook by Derry Robbins, illustrated by Charlotte Stowell, published by Kingfisher. What Food Is This? By Rosemarie Haushaer. Published by Scholastic.